This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to Little Gold Men, the award season podcast from Vanity Fair.
I am delighted and proud to introduce him as Academy Award winner.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
The winner. It's a tie.
And any little girl who's practicing their speech on the telly, you never know.
Mom, I just want an Oscar.
I am Katie Rich, and I'm here for today's interview episode with Rebecca Ford.
Hi, Katie.
So we have another interview to share today with an actor recorded right before the SAG-AFTRA strike began, the day of the Emmy nominations, because not only is Cheryl Lee Ralph a Emmy nominee once again for her role in Abbott Elementary, but she's been on the SAG negotiating committee. So she was really having an interesting series of emotions on the Emmy nominations announcement day, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I think you could really hear it even in her voice. Obviously, we did it over video, so I could see her. But you could tell she was just kind of juggling a lot in her mind. I mean, I think it's such a special honor for her to be recognized after such an incredible career to finally sort of get this recognition she always deserved. But, you know, at the same time, she was pulling off her headphones because she had just been in a negotiating call on the day of the Emmy nomination. So it seemed very surreal for her, for sure.
Yeah, and like we've already published some of her thoughts on the SAG negotiations. You know, she won the Emmy last year for Abbott Elementary in really an incredible moment. So it's not like this is old hat for her, but she was pretty fired up, like as so many people were as the strike was about to begin.
Yeah, she had a lot, you know, she couldn't say what happened in the room, but I think it's really interesting to hear from her now that we are officially in the strike, because on that day, it was, 24 hours before the strike was going to be announced. So, I mean, she probably knew it was going to happen, you know, but for me, there was still a little bit of questions of, will this really happen? And so to hear her talk about the reasons that she feels it's so important, you know, especially AI was something that really weighs heavily on her, I think it gives a really interesting perspective.
Well, did you guys get a chance to talk about Abbott as well in sunnier news?
Of course. I think what's really funny is there was this viral clip of her character like mixing up black and white celebrities from this season.
I remember that. And
it was really inspired by something she did where she thought Darren Star was a black actor or black creator. And so I kind of asked her how else they've pulled from, you know, the real Cheryl Lee Ralph in the character and how she sort of helped develop this character as season two went on. So she had a lot to say about the show, which she clearly loves and cares deeply about as well.
Well, I'm sure she, like we, hope that they get to film season three soon, yeah. And that this can get resolved and we can get more of it. But for now, we have this conversation. So let's hear your conversation with Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Well, I'm joined by Abbott Elementary's Cheryl Lee Ralph on a very special and strange and surreal day, I think. I don't know how else to describe it. She landed her second nomination for Abbott Elementary. She won the trophy last year. And it's also perhaps the eve of an actor strike. So I how are you feeling, Cheryl? How are you feeling in this moment?
I have to tell you, I'm so happy that we're talking now, because up until just about an hour ago, I was just a weeping ball of emotion. You know, my kids were calling and talking to me, and I was underneath the covers crying. And I said, I do not know why I am underneath the covers crying with my eyeglasses on. I said, this is a mess. I am a mess. But now I'm just feeling so, I continue to use this word, and I have to say, grateful, thankful, happy, joyful for my journey, that it could see me at this place with my second consecutive Emmy nomination after a 40-year career that I've been able to come to and enjoy a time like this. Yeah.
And last year, you know, Abbott became sort of an instant beloved show, but does it hit any different, this repeat nomination, earning it for the second time?
I'm just so happy that anything that I have been doing has been so well received by those who look at television and say, yeah, I like that. Yes, I resonate with that. Yes, I like what they're doing. You know, that doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen often or at all. My God, especially because honestly, in doing this role, it was so, you know, subtle in what she had to say and do. And I thought nobody was going to see my work. I really thought I'm here to do some good work and collect a check. I did not see, I had no idea that people would resonate in such an outstanding way with Barbara Howard. It's, I just don't know. I just don't know.
It's funny because I know Quinta Brunson has said before the first season that she wanted to give you the role that would finally get you an Emmy. So I feel like she knew.
She absolutely knew. She looked at me and knew it. She literally said, we're going there. We are going there. You know, and I was like, politely, thank you. Thank you. And then when it happened, I'm telling you, she's like a little magician. You know, there was a moment, you know, where Randall and she were standing there and they said, just do nothing. Just do nothing, which was a challenge for me to hear them, hear the direction, and really lean on my abilities as an actor to still give this character life without trying to bring all the bells and whistles that we might have in comedy, but to bring the real life, comedy and drama of life that catches all of us at some times and makes us smile. I'm just so thankful. I wrote her in a note and I said, you will always have a piece of my heart. Thank you.
And so tell me about approaching the second season, because I think after a show is sort of a breakout hit like that in the first season, there's an added level of pressure and expectation on the second season. How did you sort of handle that pressure?
I've been given an incredible gift with this show. Our writer's room, they write for us, and they write very well. I've been on many shows where you read the script and you're like, oh, can we do this? Can we do that? Can we drop this? Can we add that? I don't have a lot of that in the work that I do with Abbott Elementary. In fact, I've now become so trusting of the work, I do not read the script before the table read. I go to the table read, and the first time I read it out loud at the table is the first time I'm reading the script. And I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, the writers have and Quinta have literally hit it out of the park. And that's another great, great gift. As an actor, you could have so many expectations of thoughts that what might change after you win, you know, an award that is so substantive as the Emmy. You know, when you come in, oh, will it be this? Will it be that? But Quinta has stuck with her thoughts, her vision for the show, and is not playing to any of those other platitudes that might be thrown at us, but to be true to the series, to be true to Abbott Elementary.
Yeah. The second season had quite a few more episodes. I think it allowed for a lot of the characters to shine and or learn more about their lives than we had seen before. What excited you most about Barbara's story for that season?
Barbara is a woman who wants to be seen as perfect. Mm. Barbara wants to be seen as exactly what she probably is, the queen matriarch. And she is not going to let you down, nor is she going to let herself down. You know, she is there because she knows she has a difficult task and she is up to the task. Notice how I slip right into Barbara
yeah, her voice.
You know, and I love that we saw the cracks in this woman's life, this woman's life. The fact that here she is dealing with the possibility of her husband's cancer, the prostate cancer scare, and what that does to her. This is a woman who's been working for 30 years and has never taken a day off and has never thought to take a day off to take care of herself or handle something for her family because she's so dedicated. I loved seeing the fact that she could think about self-care as not being selfish, but as necessary for her own well-being. How we saw the fact that, you know, I liken my character, Barbara Howard, to the very first character I played in my career in a film, Piece of the Action, directed by Sidney Poitier, where I played a character named Barbara Hanley. And I said to myself, why is Barbara Howard such a fierce, loving, dedicated teacher? Because as a child, as Barbara Hanley, she knew what she needed. And she brings that every day to Abbott Elementary, you know? And I just love that we are seeing this woman show you in small little cracks that are still hilarious. Me and that CPAP, I don't know if I'll get over that. I don't know if I'll get over that. Me walking around school in that burned up shawl because I had a tiny bit of a breakdown. Yes, just a tiny one. And everybody could see it except me, you know, and the fact that, oh, her love for her husband, her family, you know, I'm very happy with those things because it made people laugh, but it also made people think about themselves. And that's a gift. We don't usually get to do things like that in a series, in entertainment, in TV. Just amazing.
And I know that amazing viral cold open where Barbara confuses the names of white celebrities for black actors was inspired by your own slip up. I'm curious how else Quinta has and the writers have taken bits of yourself and placed her in Barbara when they can like that.
It's so interesting because, you know, I'm an honorary soror of a sorority that it's made up of women and they're pearls. And now there was one line in it where she clutches her pearls. Now it's like it's the pearls and the pearls and the pearls of it all. She even had pearls in her sweater. When I look at her hair, the wig itself is now becoming its own character, so much so that the hair department got nominated for an Emmy. I was just like, oh my God, the wig is living beyond me. You know, so many little things like that that they have taken on to. And I love it, but I told them that I'm going to be very careful around them because I realized they're actually listening to me. They're like, what is she going to say next? And they laugh at me because I love the telephone. I love the telephone. And all they want to do is text. You know, it was like this morning. Anybody older than 40, they called me. Everybody younger than 40, they text me. And I was just like, I want to hear your voice. I want to talk to you. Oh, but it's funny. Yeah, I have to be very careful because they will make fun of me.
You gave some really incredible acceptance speeches over the last season. I thought the Critics' Choice speech about loving what you see in the mirror is something that went viral and that people talked about. How do you know what you want to say when you have those moments? Does it come to you when you hit the stage? Do you think about what's on your heart before you go up there?
First of all, in my mind, how does one prep for a win? You don't know if you're going to win. You don't know if even after you've done great work, you're not the one. You know, I always come to this very thankful, very grateful to be in the company of those that they thought did the best. And of course, there are so many who did their best that were not chosen. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I don't go to any of this thinking, what am I going to say when I get up there? I don't do that. So when it is me, I literally have to think about, it's been about my journey. Mm-hmm. It's been about what it has taken for me to last, what it has taken for me to still be happy in an industry that sometimes can be bent upon breaking your soul and your spirit with the rejections. But I love what I do. And along the way, I want to encourage others. When I say don't give up, I mean, don't give up. And if you do give up, just know it wasn't for you. And there's nothing wrong in that. Go out, find your joy, find your passion, and hold on to your next dream or your new dream. And stop putting an age on your success. People want to say, well, I didn't make it at this time. Well, hold on, because you might make it in the next 10 years. Took me 40 years to become an overnight sensation, and it's not over.
The Run for Revogue is where you'll meet all the most exciting people in fashion and culture.
I am Fran Lebowitz, who should be the mayor of New York.
We all support that. We support that.
Very nice.
Nikki.
Yes.
It's been really great being in this beautiful pink room.
All right, Usher, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
All right, here we are.
On the podcast, you'll learn how Vogue really works.
Sometimes we'll come in for a second or even third run through until we are AWOK.
Can you tell us what AWOK means?
It means AWOK, Anna Wintour OK.
I'm Cho Minardi.
And I'm Chloe Mel.
And we're the hosts of The Run Through with Vogue, where fashion and culture collide.
Join us. It's AWOK.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of that, have you found that you feel there are other opportunities that are coming your way after this huge whirlwind of success after 40 years of a wonderful career?
It's been amazing, amazing to see how doors can open up for you, to get in the rooms to talk with people, to have them really ask you, what would you like to do, and mean it? You know, when it came to things like my style on the red carpet and working with my daughter, we made a decision to elevate unknown artists, designers, you know, to give people who wouldn't usually get a shot, to give them a shot to be on the red carpet. And for some of them, oh my God, it's just changed everything for them as designers. I look for the same when it comes to writers and the next projects. You know, I look forward to this year. You know, I've been producing a wellness benefit every year called Divas Simply Singing. It started out around HIV and AIDS, and now we've opened the umbrella to include all things that are life-threatening diseases, including poverty, hunger, all kinds of cancers, and not leaving HIV out of the whole equation. I look forward to bringing artists together who can fight one song at a time to make a difference. You know, so there are all of those things that are brewing that are happening. And you're right, Abbott takes up a great deal of my life, but it also broadens and supports the platform that I have always had to stand on. It has given me a microphone that is absolutely unmuted. I am heard in a way that people are like, some people are like, but she's always been saying that. And other people are like, yeah, but I can hear her now. So it's just a wonderful time to be able to continue to do some good work.
Plus, you get the perks of singing at the Super Bowl and things like that, which don't.
That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. I didn't know I had a bucket list until that happened. I was like, wait a minute. Am I on the 50-yard line of the Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? Wait a minute. Rock Nation, Jay-Z, are you kidding me? What's going on here? I just was like, amazing. And then when we put the whole look together and the fact that I sang a song that was 125 years old on the day that I sang it, and people were asking about the song like they were hearing it for the first time. It was absolutely so many crazy things happening all at once. But to be able to say, lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, come on. And for people to connect with that, it was like, oh, you can hear it now. Ah, come on. This is the stuff that dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Absolutely what dreams are made of.
You know, and granted, you came into Abbott with all this experience, but has being on the show, getting to be Barbara for two seasons, taught you anything about acting that maybe you hadn't realized about yourself or that was a new learning experience?
Yeah. It was very, this was, you know, this whole mockumentary thing. One of the things I learned was get into the gym. The camera can see all sides of you. Oh my God. I was like sitting down in this chair. I had no idea my butt was so big. Are you kidding me? Oh, but, and learning to respect the camera operators on our show and what they do. Sometimes we are literally dancing a dance together. It's, oh my goodness. And to be able to approach the art differently, being able, like I said earlier, to put down the bells and whistles and just concentrate on my art, to simply be Barbara Howard. Oh my God. It's a gift. It's a gift. And I always want to tell actors, never stop listening, one, to yourself as an artist, but always be open to a director, because there's nothing like a good director, someone that can help you see something in yourself, in the character that you might not have seen yourself. It is very easy to get into a place where you think, I don't need to hear that. I know what I'm doing. Oh, I've been doing this for 40 years. No, you don't need to tell me that. Sometimes you need to just be mute and listen. Unmute and do it. I've learned that.
And I know that the ongoing WGA strike has put a stop to production, but where were you in the process for season three before that? Had you seen scripts at all? Had you talked about where Barbara goes?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I have not had any meetings. It has been nothing. It was actually 2 days ago we were supposed to be doing table reads, but that's not, obviously, that hasn't happened. Right. Doesn't look like it's going to happen for another 6 weeks. And we shall see. But strikes are very difficult. Nobody wants to be in strike mode. But sometimes you have got to do what needs to be done. And I know, as difficult as it is, people have to remember, if real workers did not come together and organize, none of us would have a weekend. Because there was a time where workers worked 7 days a week, and it was unheard of for them to get time off. So I just want everybody to understand that, you know, this isn't about making more millions of dollars, because quiet as it's kept, 80% of our, at least 80% of our union are plain old ordinary hardworking people who haven't gotten a cost of living raise in 40 years, who are depending upon the kindness of big corporations, many of whom sometimes don't really know what it is to be an artist. And God bless them. You need people who can crunch numbers well, but when it starts to crunch people, that's not good. That is not good. and there's something that must be changed about how business is done in show business, in Hollywood, because the artists, the performers, the writers are getting squeezed, and it's not right. It's not right.
For those who may not know, you're on the SAG contract negotiation committee. I'm so curious what the last 48 hours has been like for you as we near this possible strike.
You know what? I can't tell you anything about the room, mm-hmm. but I can tell you it has been very stressful. But I am so proud and happy of the people who volunteer enough to do the work in the room. Nobody's getting paid in that room. And there's some people who have been in this industry for a long time who have learned and worked and done these contracts. They know what they're talking about. And it's, for me, it's sort of like when you watch Jeopardy or any of those other game shows, you sit there on the couch at home and you say, I can do that. This is the answer. Come on. How did you not think about that? This is the answer. When you get in the room, oh, it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is not exactly what I thought at all. There's a very different way of doing this kind of business right here. And you have got to be on your game. Yeah. You must be. Yeah. And it's not a place to play checkers. Not at all.
And as you're, you know, focusing in on these issues, what is the most pressing issue to you in these negotiations?
I think one of the things is you often find that as artists, you're either trying to catch up to or regain what you lost in technology. Mm. And technology, this is not our parents' time when the Industrial Revolution was coming and things were grinding along at a pace of change. No, it is happening like this. And I don't care what anybody says, AI is a gift and a threat. And if anybody thinks that AI is a better performer than a human being and that everybody's body should just be captured so you can bring it back whenever, I'm like, no. And people deserve proper pay. What is wrong with proper pay? You know, I'm like, if everybody's making money on our work, there should never be a time where the artist is not making money for their own work. To me, share. We learned that in kindergarten, and Miss Barbara Howard is one of the best kindergarten teachers out there. And if there's one thing she does, she tells her students, share and share alike. It's important.
Hey, I'm Brian Stelter, host of Inside the Hive from Vanity Fair. This week, with the help of Dan Adler and Olivia Nuzzi, we're going inside the media circus swirling around Donald Trump's criminal trial.
People want coverage of Donald Trump. There are sort of shades of 2015, 2016. I found it to be a total break from the reaction to a lot of Trump coverage in the last 2 years.
Join me, Brian Stelter, on Inside the Hive from Vanity Fair. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, I did want to wrap this up going back to Barbara and what you would love to see in the next season when we get to the point where that can actually be something everyone is working on again. What would you love to see?
She's such a woman of family.
Yeah.
I would really like to see that about her. You know, it was interesting. This morning, I was so emotional, and it's like I had to center myself. I went into the kitchen and I started cooking. I started pulling things out of the refrigerator and I made the best fish stew of my life and I ate it. I'd like to see more of those little things about Barbara Howard. Mm. You know, we love her because we see her personality, we see her love. We see it, but now I want to see how she lives in it, how she shares in it. I'd love to see Barbara Howard's mother, because you know that woman is something else.
That's a good one.
You know, I would love to see that, you know, the husband there. But in my mind, we're going to have so many years of Abbott Elementary, because it has been years that we have not had a show that can bring together generations, multiple generations of people, to make an appointment to sit down together to watch and enjoy television the way they're doing it around the world for Abbott Elementary. And I want more of that. And, you know, as we see it, we all shine together. I work with an incredible group of people, and we all shine together.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. In praise of all those bald-headed men, but why are they all castrated? All those little golden men, they're all bald and they're all castrated. I'm like, oh my God, the only one that shines beautifully is the Emmy and the Essence. Two fancy, fabulous women.
I like that. I haven't heard, we haven't done a real review of the different statues.
Oh my God, you can look right behind me.
I can look at your shelf, that's true.
Oh, it's crazy. And they're all bald, castrated, winged men. I'm like, is that how men really see themselves? And they're all golden.
Yep.
Except for, what you call the award? The other one, it's an albatross. It's an albatross trying to lift up a shoestring.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm like, the Independent Spirit Award.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It's an albatross. And I'm like, wow. And it's a dingy little albatross. I'm just like, that poor thing. I said, is that the independent film image? they're very interesting awards, though. But anyway,
thank
you very much. And read my book. It's Diva 2.0. Diva 2.0, available now, and you can download the audio.
That does it for today's episode. We'll be back on Thursday. In the meantime, find us at VanityFair.com, on Twitter and Instagram at VF Awards Insider, and on our own, I'm on Twitter at Katie Rich, and Rebecca?
Rebecca M. Ford.
Our editor and producer, as always, is Brett Fuchs.
I'm Chris Murphy.
I'm Richard Lawson.
And I'm Hilary Busis. We are from Vanity Fair's Still Watching podcast. Next up, we're watching the new HBO show, The Regime.
Madam Chancellor, let's keep the gloves on.
This is not a confrontation. We're just saying what's true.
Academy Award winner Kate Winslet is our chancellor as she leads a faux European autocracy in turmoil.
We'll be watching week by week as The Regime unravels.
And we'll be talking to the stars along the way.
New episodes of Still Watching will drop every Sunday after The Regime airs.